Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to deal with objections. Here we go. Okay, you asked that we have a cast, the Career Tools cast on objections, because you discovered that I was quite good at handling objections. I assume not yours. Partially because of my sales experience. I think largely because of my sales experience, and then I honed that when I became a manager. Salespeople are taught all kinds of objection handling techniques. One of the rules is handle objections up front. And most people are not taught that. It's one of those things where a career knows that that's a critical portion. They teach to that, but no one else learns it. And it's dumb. It's just dumb that only
some
people
know that. Because we're all trying to negotiate.
We're all trying. No, I would argue we're not all trying to negotiate.
Trying to sell.
Well, okay, wait a minute. No, you're right. Everyone's trying to negotiate. The problem is, it's a bit like everybody trying to hit world-class golf shots. It just never happens. Folks, if you think you're negotiating a lot, I assure you, you're mistaken. But we sell our ideas, we sell our plans all the time, and we get objections, and we don't know how to handle them. In fact, one of the fundamental problems of people is high D's and I's, using our DISC leanings, are affronted by objections. S's and C's simply back off and say, oh, well, fine, you know, you don't understand. D's and I's either bombard you, you know. High D's call fire for effect on your position, and high I's say, oh, it'll be fine, you don't understand, let me buy you a coffee, it'll all be good. And yet the underlying behavior of how do you overcome someone's objection with your idea is lost. And there's a fundamental way to do it. It's really simple. And there are we have five steps in the cast.
Okay, so the first step is agree with them.
Agree with them. Guys, that's the big one. Agree. Okay? We'll talk more about that.
Second is find out their concern. Third is ask if I can address that concern. Would you agree? Four is address the concern.
Duh.
And then five is rinse, repeat.
Yeah. So the first thing you do is agree. And this is a Career Tools cast, but we're also going to put it in the Manager Tools feed because managers deal with this all the time. And I want to address the manager piece first, because if one of your directs, and if I'm in a bad mood, and I would say that they have the temerity to object, or if they've built up the courage, if they screwed their courage to the sticking post and said, I'm going to disagree with you, boss, recognize that there are very few directs and no directs who are sane who disagree with their boss and couldn't care less about the outcome of that. So the point of that is that your directs, when they disagree, know they're taking a risk, okay? If you want to have an intelligent discussion about competing ideas or why idea A or idea B are better, you need to diffuse that tension. Otherwise, the entire discussion will be diffused, if you will, with tension. And I don't mean defused, I mean diffused, D-I-F-F-U-S-E-D. If you're not careful, it's going to become an argument. You might not think you're arguing, but if there's any shred of effrontery, perception of effrontery, that they think you've been affronted, or if there is any perception of a scowl on your face or surprise that someone disagreed, they're going to get defensive real fast. Even if you're not being offensive, when they get defensive, they're not learning. And what people do when they get defensive is to defend their position. That's the whole point of defend and defensive, okay? So the first thing you do as a boss, and frankly, as a peer or as a subordinate, if someone disagrees, is you agree with them. Now, you might be saying, well, gee, I don't agree with them. I like plan A, and they're suggesting plan A is idiotic. No, what you do is you agree that their point of view has validity. But because they are expecting you to disagree with them, because you put plan A up and they've said, I disagree, by definition, the moment they say, I disagree, particularly if they're a high D or a high C, they assume, therefore, you're in disagreement with them. It takes both people deciding that they're disagreeing to have a disagreement that becomes significantly problematic. One person disagreeing can be slightly problematic, but it can be overcome. The mistake that we all make is when someone disagrees, then we disagree with the disagreement. And now we've got trench warfare, right? And we're lobbing shells at one another. Okay, enough of the military allusions. So the first thing we do when someone disagrees with us, say, well, I don't think that's a good idea. What we want to do is find what many people would say, oh, find common ground. But then when you read, if you go out on the internet and you say, how do we, oh, find common ground. But they don't really describe how you do that.
No.
Well, the first thing you do is eliminate uncommon ground, which is to say, you say, well, okay, you make a statement which shows you understand where they're coming from. Something like, I recommend plan A. And Wendy says, well, that won't work. And I say, oh, okay, that's the first thing I do. The first couple of words out of my mouth should be non-confrontational and non-repetitive of what I've already said and non-questioning of what the person has put in front of me. Wendy says she disagrees and I say, oh, okay. That very statement or okay or oh, let me hear from you. Something, anything to suggest that Wendy's point of view might have validity. Okay. It's entirely possible to have two ideas that are not in agreement, but also are not in disagreement. You know, should we invest in the Middle East or should we invest in South America for our company? Those things, yes, if there's limited resources, we have to choose between one or the other, but they're both good options. And what, when you say it's going to be Middle East or South America, I use that example frequently because I was in a discussion where that discussion was fundamentally became almost a brawl were it not for the facilitator who happened to be me. And I barely got out of there alive. But people see it as a contrast of Middle East versus South America. And it could just as easily be either one is legitimate, but let's score them and see which one works best. Now, we can argue about the scoring techniques and so on. And one is probably going to win and one is probably going to lose. And in large corporations, it'd generally be a good idea if one did win and one did lose because we wouldn't want to fritter away our resources on every possible opportunity. The whole point of being a leader and being strategic is making choices, as Napoleon would teach us. Mass at the point of decision rather than spreading your forces thinly and evenly across a battlefield and therefore losing at the point of decision. But it's okay to say, well, sure, the Middle East is a good choice and South America is a good choice. And in this case, I think South America is a better choice and we're going to bet all of our resources there rather than saying, I believe in South America and that makes the Middle East bad as an investment choice for our firm, our particular firm and our investment of $90 million next year in terms of future business there. So what we do is we say, okay, or sure, I'm open to that. Right? Because if you get defensive when you're putting out an idea or you're throwing out a plan or you've prepared a plan, those of you who are ICs, you've already got a perfect plan, of course. When you get defensive, it sends a message of insecurity. And when you're insecure, whether you're a boss or subordinate or peer or anything else, that increases the person's both defensiveness of their position and their willingness to attack your position. So, we always agree. Okay, sure. Happy to hear it. Okay. Tell me what you're thinking. Or good. Sometimes disagreement make things better, right? All of those statements are agreeable or agreeing statements saying your point of view has validity too. Maybe what we're doing here, if you want to think of it this way in terms of the flow of a discussion or an argument, we're still in the discussion phase and we're trying to make common cause with someone before we get into the disagreement phase where we're saying, okay, now we're going to decide on these limited resources that we're going to apply. I want to do X, you want to do Y. At least we both want to do something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find something to agree with you with to diffuse the defensiveness, the offensiveness, the attacking, and the counterattacking that happens inevitably. And whether you like it or not, folks, my high D part of me says this is irrelevant, but my high I part says you want to win. This is the way you win. The fact is the emotional state of people in a discussion that turns into an argument makes a difference. How people feel matters. I had somebody send me an email recently and say, it really frustrates me that we can't be more logical about this. It's, well, you're going to spend the rest of your life being frustrated, my friend. Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you.
It's interesting that frustration is a feeling.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, this is it. We've said it 100 times. I'll say it 101st time. The words emotion and motion are similar for very important reasons. All human beings do things because of how they feel. Even you high C's do things because of how you feel. You just tend to think longer and feel shorter than I's who think shorter and feel longer. But look, the first thing you do is agree. When someone disagrees with you, when an objection is a form of disagreement, say, okay, sure. And frankly, in the beginning, when I was taught this by a sales manager, the first thing he told me was, I want to tell you this to help you avoid the emotional state that I have seen so many sales representatives, in this case for Procter & Gamble, take that causes calls to go bad the moment they get their first objection and there's an emotional response that's negative, defensive, counterattack, and whatever, all the stuff we just talked about. I just want you to do this thing. He was a behavioralist as well as we are. And he said, I just want you to agree. And it was only later in my career that I realized what you were doing is laying the groundwork for a longer period of emotional agreement before we got to the point where we had to vote or we had to decide or we had to draw straws or flip a coin or whatever it might be. So agree, 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 agree. Now, if they say something that makes your blood boil and you can't see your way to agreeing, what you can do is say to yourself, this is an intelligent person. This is a reasonably professional person. Clearly, I'm a coworker with theirs. They're not mental. They're not insane. They're not a felon. They don't belong in jail. And if you have those kind of responses to people who disagree with you, you're the one that needs to go talk to a therapist, not them. Because of that, whatever they're doing makes sense to them. Okay? Never, ever forget that. No one ever, there are rare exceptions, but no normal person, no reasonable person, which is to say any person in an organization, large or small, in the world today that's listening to us, I think our audience is by definition in a subset of all are reasonable, right? They don't wear string vests and collect snakes, let's
that's
say,
true.
Right? They are reasonable. And so therefore, once you have that thought, you must therefore impute to them reasonableness about their argument. Rather than defending yours, assume for a moment that what they're saying makes sense to them. And the way you can prove that to yourself is ask yourself, have you ever said anything that didn't make any sense to you at all? And the answer is no, of course not.
No, everything right. makes sense yeah. to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yourself. When it leaves your head that yeah. it stops making sense.
Well,
no, that's just
that's
me.
That's a little confessional there. That's a separate cast. That's funny. When I say things that come out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, that sounded okay. But when somebody disagrees, don't focus on the disagreement. Recognize if they say something that causes your blood to boil, say to yourself, okay, that makes sense to them. And say, okay, help me understand that. Or, okay, I hadn't thought about that. And look, if they're suggesting that your plan is the devil, okay, I'd suspect that you hadn't thought of that. So when they say, this is the devil incarnate, what you can say is, well, I hadn't thought about that. Tell me more. Right? While secretly also feeling like this person is the craziest idiot of all time, you're entitled to that response. You're entitled to that emotional response, but there's a difference between what you think and what you say. And if you want to advance the discussion, learn to delay the conflict that's going to happen to the last possible moment when one has to vote South America versus Middle East, and try to find something to like about what they're suggesting. It may be as slim as I like them or I think of them as smart. They can't be thinking, whatever they're thinking can't be that unreasonable. I'm just going to trust that this person who I've worked with for a couple of years is not saying something that I find that objectionable. I must have misheard it. I must be wrong. Tell me what it is you're thinking. Okay? And I know that took a long time, folks, but that is the 900-pound gorilla in conflict, in objections, in disagreements, is find something to agree with, okay? That's step one.
Okay. So step two, once we've agreed with them,
right,
is find out which bits they don't agree with.
Well,
right?
Find out what
the
their
definition
concern
of concern.
Yeah, well, I think that comes right from the fundamental bit of they're going to tell us what their issue is. So I say, okay, tell me more. Or I say, help me understand that. Or a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way, right? And by the way, if it sounds like I'm agreeing with them, I am, because I'm agreeing with whatever impetus caused them to say the thing which I find disagreeable. I can hold two thoughts in my head. I think F. Scott Fitzgerald once said, the definition of genius is the ability to hold two opposing thoughts in one's head at the same time. I mean, you know, I have a particular set of political beliefs, and I believe that the other side of political beliefs is also completely reasonable. I understand why they disagree with me on some things. And isn't freedom wonderful, right? I have three good things come out of it. I believe one thing. You believe the opposite thing. And freedom allows us to do both. Isn't that great? And, you know, hopefully Manager Tools and Career Tools will go to every place in the world that is both free and not free over the course of our lifetimes. But yeah, I think what you do, the agreement is a way to say, I'm willing to have a discussion with you. I'm not going to immediately get defensive and back down into my trench and say, mm-hmm. Okay, it's time to lob mortars at you. Okay, let's come out on the playing field. Let's do a little Bella Wood a la Garth Brooks and say, okay, let's sing Christmas carols together here on the battlefield in World War I.
I mean, if they really, really didn't want to hear what you had to say, they would have not invited you into their office, not agreed to meet with you. There's got to be, they obviously believe that there's something there.
Yeah. I think something you put in the show notes, I think is good, is there are people who knowing that you're going to posit an opinion, that you're going to proffer an idea, that you're going to pitch a plan, they feel like they're going to be sold to. And the high C's and high D's are definitely that way. And they want to maintain their rationality. And so the first thing they do is build up a barrier.
Yeah.
Right? And the agreement is designed to lower the intensity and height and strength of that barrier. And so it's completely okay to say, oh, okay, I hadn't thought of that. Tell me more. What's your concern? Dude, take your time and lay out what all your concerns are. And by the way, the people who are most energetic when they lay out all the concerns, they'll have a lot of energy, but they'll run out of really things that are really valid, and they'll end up looking bad, which if there's an audience in the room, that helps you enormously. You've just said, here's an olive branch, and they swat it away and go, let me tell you what I don't like about your problem, about your plan. Oh, okay, that's reasonable. Oh, okay, sure. And folks, I promise you, people vote not just on your plan, not that all things are voting, but you'd be surprised, okay? Well, I think our first rule of politics is count votes, right? People don't just vote on the idea. They vote on how the proponents of the varying ideas comport themselves in the discussion. And if one person says, what you're saying is nuts, and what I'm saying makes sense, that person loses credibility to everybody else. The one person who says, I shared an idea, and I'm going to be collaborative. We're having a whole series right now, Manager Tools, about the collaborative manager and how, dude, collaborativeness is not what they have in TV commercials that people sit around and smile at one another while somebody writes on a whiteboard. Collaborativeness is behaviors that managers engage in and other professionals engage in to make sure all voices are heard, even though we still make decisions based on what the best solution is based on whatever metric we apply. But I'm the one being collaborative when I say, here's my plan, what do you all think? And somebody goes, meh, 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 meh. So, well, okay, that's good. Take a minute, take the marker and tell me what you think. And by the way, the moment they won't take the marker, you've won.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, oh, I'm not confident enough about my disagreement with you to stand up in front of you. Or when they have a lot of energy and they go, rah, 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 everyone goes, wow, Mark or Wendy are, you know, being open. They're saying, this is just an idea. I'm not saying it's the only one. And this person's saying, no, I'm right and you're wrong. And so they end up voting with us rather than with the stick in the mud over there who says, this won't work and da-da-da-da. We did this before. At my old company, we tried this. This is not invented here.
This is just your flavor of the month.
I hear that all the time. How is this not flavor of the month? Well, I've been doing it for 25 years. At what point does it become, 25 times 12, what is that? 250? I think it's, 300? 25 times 12? So I've been doing it for 300 months. I guess it's 300 flavors in a row. Let's open an ice cream store.
Yeah. So we've got an example here that we used all the way through the through the cast.
So share this. So this is a Career Tools cast. I feel like I'm monopolizing a little bit
you're
here.
You're better at it than me, so that's okay. So this is the example that we've used throughout the cast. So I'll just brief everybody on the scenario. So let's say that one of your service departments has come up with a new form that you have to fill in to get service.
When you say form, you mean a document that has to be,
you know, one with boxes completed and numbers and, you know.
Remember, we just recently, a few months ago, we were doing a website redesign, and one of the consultants in this very room, in my living room of my house, said, people love filling out forms.
I literally just sat there.
What Aboriginal tribe have you interviewed that people, seriously, folks, if you like filling out forms on the web or in person, I want you to write me an email. I seriously do. I mean, customer service at manager-shields.com. I promise you, Wendy and I are the ones that go through that. I promise that email will come to me. Please tell us that you love filling out forms. And by the way, if you don't like filling out forms, send me that too, and I'll forward it on to this consultant who said, yeah, people really like filling out forms. By the way, we tended to ignore that advice.
Yeah, we don't, so okay. There we go. So there's this new form, and you can see how it'll help them, right? It'll make their job easier.
Now, you're talking about, I'm the person who benefits from the service department service of me.
Yep.
And I can see intellectually why the service department is causing me to fill out this form. I can see why they need to know this information and it'll be helpful for them. Okay. Yep. This is, by the way, this vaguely sounds like a CIO telling his CEO he needs a PMO, but that's a whole other thing. Okay. It'll make their job easier. Yeah. I can see that, right?
But then on the other hand, you're frustrated by the fact it's information that you've given them. They know your name. They know where you sit. They know your phone number, you know? And it means every time you need service, you have to go find the form, you have to fill it in, you have to take it down there. Yeah. So and right now, everything's fine.
Do we need to do a supplementary cast of manager tools that if you're running a service organization and you already have the information, don't ask the people to fill out a form?
We have one.
Separate. Okay, good.
Okay, so we're going to take that scenario and we're going to play it through this cast, and Mark are going to work in the service department, and you're trying to convince me.
And when you say service department, IT, legal, some internal service.
Yeah.
IT, legal, HR,
printing,
operations,
like
printing, whatever. Catering. So I'm going to play this as IT.
Yeah.
Because okay. I've given IT a fair ration of you know what over the years for some legitimate reasons, and I've picked on them a little bit. And if you're an IT person, gosh, I love you guys. My business partner came from IT, so it's not like I hate you. Okay.
Yeah.
You just seem to be the brunt of a lot of jokes at Manager Tools and Career Tools, which I think is unfair. Okay.
So I'm already pretty sure that I'm not going to use the form because the system already works, and filling in the form is hassle for me. It's just too hard.
So you've decided you're not gonna.
Yeah, basically, and you know that, and that's the first thing you found out from me that what my objection is, which is it's too hard, and I don't wanna.
Wait. You're saying that you're already positing in this scenario that you know the form exists. My department, whether I'm the manager, let's assume for a moment I'm the manager.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there a while and I got promoted. Has nothing to do with my ability to manage, but nevertheless. And you've gotten notification through whatever I decided notification would be that you're going to have to start filling out a form in order to get resources from my department.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got about 30 techs who go out and support the entire organization. And
I've already seen you in a corridor and said, you know that form? It's stupid. I'm not doing it.
Oh, okay. That's it for another week of Career Tools. Come back next week. After all, it's spring and it's baseball and you never know. Just kidding. Every week we have good stuff on Career Tools. If you have questions about your careers, come to our forums, manager-tools.com/forums. See you there.